This is CliffCentral.com.
All right. Ben hates this, but he does say it's a nice tribute to that Colombian race where they found all the cyclists were doping, so I suppose that's okay. All right, it is time. time for me to clear my throat. It's time for us to get to what for many people is the highlight of their week. I don't know if that's good or bad, Justice, but it's something that people take very seriously because this is the stuff everybody starts talking about when they get to the office in the morning is, did you hear what Justice said on the burning platform this morning? And I suppose there's so much to talk about in this fantastic country of ours that we will never run out of material. So welcome to the burning platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. Justice Malala is here. It's Thursday, which means tomorrow's the weekend.
I think what's the best news? That it's the weekend from tomorrow? Or that it's the burning platform?
Both good news. Oh, okay. But the real news, where is this ANC conference that everyone is so excited about happening? Where does it take place?
Please, can we start with you? Can you just, told me some amazing bit of news about what happened in the Free State.
Weekend special, Des Van Rooyen was chased out of a polling station. He says he was politely asked to leave and decided to acquiesce. In the Free State, he was there in his capacity as like a member of some committee on elections.
Okay, yes, because he's local government minister.
Correct.
But can I tell you, I mean, this, I find the reason why I find that so interesting is that you had three ministers yesterday, Wednesday. Suddenly, several committees in parliament want to ask them, you know, some questions about state capture. What did you do? How did you do it? With who?
And Lynn Brown got sick.
Lynn Brown got sick. So Lynn Brown was so sick that she, in fact, I like the way Colin Craver and her minion explained it. He said she apologized in advance, that she would be sick. So, Mabali, I hope you don't mind, but I'm sick next week.
Okay.
On Thursday, I won't be here at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm sick. I'm sick next week. In advance, I want
noted, Justice. Noted.
In advance.
Unbelievable.
So you had Lynn Brown, sick in advance. And then you had Museveni Zwane, God, the Free State.
I mean, it's unbelievable, right? The Free State's got to be the worst.
Yeah. So Museveni Zwane, so on Tuesday evening, not in the daytime, Tuesday evening, Museveni Zwane is seen, you know, healthy and very energetic at the ANC provincial general council in the Free State.
The picture of good health.
Rude health. You know, he looks like a little baby when I, you know, throw him up in the air, okay?
And then catch him
and
again.
And catch him again. You know? Well, in the case of Museveni, I don't know.
You'd have to be very strong.
So here's a guy, he's busy, you know, running around saying vote NDZ, telling people to do this, da da da. The next day he's supposed to appear before Parliament's committee looking into state capture. And he'd known about this all along. And lo and behold, Sia, he too is sick. It's terrible, huh? Mention the word state capture, the expression state capture to some MP.
If Julius was here, he would say that they all ate from the same poison curry.
Shall we call Saxonol now? They serve good curry there.
I believe so. I'm still trying to find that Shabin. I've been driving around all day and all night. No luck.
I mean, we could spend the entire 45 minutes just talking about how people who seem to be around this Shabin in Saxonol seem to either get sick or lose their mental faculties. Now, there is, I think, almost universal agreement that Brian Molefe is a very intelligent guy. But when his legal counsel goes to court, as they did yesterday, and say he resigned, and then they say, no, he retired, and he says, I want my job back at Eskom. you stop and think, guy, what were you doing between February? For 3 months, you were a member of parliament.
Yeah.
Did you sit there saying, I resigned or I retired? You were not at Eskom. You didn't have a job. Your job was being an MP, an ANC MP. But the guy went to the State Capture Committee a week and a half ago and said, no, I never resigned. He goes to court to fight this. What was the logic? What were you doing? I was on holiday in parliament.
But I don't know if Brian Molefe is so intelligent after all.
Maybe he isn't.
Maybe we all gave him credit. You know, we sometimes believe someone is smart until they prove otherwise. You know, they say there's that old adage, rather be still and have people think that you are thoughtful and quiet than open your mouth and remove all doubt, right?
Well, I tell you, the what's happened over the past few weeks, months, has certainly removed all doubt about views on Mr. Molefe. I mean, you go and work for 3 months. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Sia should go and, you know, work in Bali or Maldives, like some fantastic place for 3 months, and he can come back to work. But we'll pay you your pension, your...
I just don't understand. Like, this one guy seems to have eternal job opportunities provided by government, no matter where and how disparate they may be. I mean, everything from the military to running a parastatal that deals with energy to being in parliament. It just seems that there's always a job for good old Brian. So either we need to answer the question, what does Brian have that they don't want him to say? What does he know? Who does he know? Or what is he expected to do that he hasn't yet had a chance to do?
I think we can take that last one. That's the correct answer. Brian Molefe has proven at Eskom, at Transnet, that he's prepared to do what Salim Essa, what the Guptas, what that whole nexus of corruption wants him to do. Think about it. With Brian Molefe at these state-owned enterprises, has come all the stories you've heard about the state capture. Think about just what is in the press today. Amabungani reporting that Hendrina power station, the coal mine that's owned by Tegeta, the Guptas, Oak Bay in that in Mpumalanga, in that region, was selling coal to Germany and other places all over the world and starving the coal mine that they're supposed to be supplying, so that they force them to pay more money for the coal. It's incredible. But who was there when that deal was done? Who held a meeting at 9 o'clock at night to ensure that those guys got 570 million rand to buy a new mine?
Brian.
It's Brian Molefe.
Justice, where people keep asking me, and I don't know the answer, where is the ANC conference that's got everybody talking in December, this boring thing that's going to happen where...
I mean, you mean location?
Yeah, where is it taking
place? Oh, it's happening right here in Johannesburg. Oh. It's happening in Nasrec.
Oh.
Yes, I know. It's very confusing because in 2007, so in 2007, we spoke about Polokwane. 2012, we spoke about Mangaung. 2002, we spoke about Stellenbosch,
that's right.
So the reason why this one is just not sexy, it's like, what do you call it?
Nasrec.
The Joburg 2017. Nasrec 2017.
And what are the exact dates? I mean, are they going to sit there for 2 weeks? How long do they have?
No, it starts on the 16th in the morning. National chairperson of the ANC, Baleka Mbete, will stand up and give a few words. You'll remember that in 2007, 10 years ago, it's okay, Sia. You know, I mean, youth, eh? In 2007, Mosiwa Lekota was the national chair of the ANC.
Yeah.
He stood up.
Those were the days.
Those were the days. Started speaking, and Sihle Zikalala, who is now the ANC chair in KwaZulu-Natal, stood up and said, point of order, comrade chair. And it basically, from the get-go, it descended into chaos.
Yeah.
Because he kept on saying, no, let me speak. And the chair said, sit down. No, no, no. It became a shouting match. and they had to ask someone else, I can't remember now who it was, to take over from Teralukota just to calm the thing down. So it starts 8 a.m. sharp on the 16th of December. It goes on until the 20th of December. On the 18th of December, on the 19th, they will vote, counting will be done, and we should know by that evening who has won. And after that, it will merely be mopping up, and the new president of the ANC will make a speech saying what their vision for the future is. The best speech that Jacob Zuma ever made was in Polokwane on the evening of the 20th of December. It was a speech that spoke to unity, that spoke to all sorts of things. It was an amazing speech, and it's the last great speech that Jacob Zuma made in his life.
Can we talk for a minute about Balegambete's comments about this Jacob Zuma that you just mentioned? She was asked in an interview the other day about him. This is always a very awkward thing for members of the ANC, particularly the top six, to talk about, because they're part and parcel of his administration.
Mm.
And in her case, she's also the Speaker of the National Assembly.
Yes.
So she has many different functions. Chair of the ANC, Speaker of the National Assembly, member of the top six. I mean, this is all very complicated. What do we make of this?
Sorry, what's the question?
What is Baleka saying? Is there any value to it? Does she have any merits for speaking at this point? Did she say anything that isn't just political rhetoric?
No, I mean, I find the fact that Baleka Mbete is even, is even in the race for the leadership of the ANC quite extraordinary. On her watch, you see... you know, way back in 1994, we make a pact. Oh, the new South Africa and so forth. We sent Cyril Rolf Meyer, all sorts of people to a parliament. They form the Constituent Assembly. They write a constitution. They say three tiers of power. There's the judiciary, there's the executive, there's the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
She is the head of the legislature. She is supposed to hold people to account.
Mm-hmm.
Again and again over the past 8 years, since 2009, President Jacob Zuma has just gotten away with murder.
And undermined the legislature.
I tweeted yesterday about, it was extraordinary for me to see the Free State High Court, Free State Bloemfontein High Court, in its judgment on the case that parts of the ANC brought against the ANC in the Free State. They used three words: irregular, unlawful, unconstitutional. Think of those words.
Mm.
That's what was said about Jacob Zuma and his Nkandla home. That's irregular, right. Unlawful, unconstitutional. Plus, one word that Jacob Zuma has gifted us, irrational. Making irrational decisions. So when Baleka Mbete comments on Jacob Zuma, she said something extraordinary. She said... she has referred the matter, and this is a serious matter. Think about this. The Minister of State Security, Bongani Bongo, calls Advocate Ntuthuzelo Vanara, the evidence leader in the state capture investigation in Parliament, calls him again and again and again and can't get joy and speaking to him. So he runs around in Parliament, and he sees him. He runs after him and says, been looking for you. I've been looking for you. Advocate Vanara said, God, here's that guy who's been looking for me. He says, okay, then you can come into my office. Let's talk. Goes into his office and says, I'll give you a bribe. Tell me how much you want so that just be sick on the day that we... So sick like Lynn Brown, sick like Museveni. Be sick on the day that this thing is supposed to start, so that it doesn't start. Or find some other way to make sure that it actually doesn't happen. So Advocate Vanara says, Baba, I can't help you. This guy says, man, help me here. You know, I'm under pressure. The guys at Eskom are scared that something will come out. Oh, something will come out. The Advocate Vanara says, no, thanks. He goes... under oath, writes an affidavit, gives it to Baleka. Baleka says, yeah, I'm going to do something about this. What does she do? She gives it to Jacob Zuma. Jacob Zuma appointed Bongani Bongo when he knew that there were three cases against him of corruption in Mpumalanga. He appointed him state security minister when he knew that this man had been bought two cars by people who were doing business with the Mpumalanga province when he was there, and was the arbiter of what happened with those cases. So you think Jacob Zuma is going to act?
Not a chance.
What is Baleka Mbete thinking, or what does she think of us? Thinking that, he's going to do something? No, he's not going to do something. So you're actually caught here in a situation where you have a minister who is clearly corrupt, who is clearly implicated in some serious malfeasance, and he'll probably get away with it because the case has gone to Jacob Zuma. Jacob Zuma likes the fact that Bongani Bongo is compromised, because he can tell him anything, and Bongani Bongo wants to stay in that job.
Right, it's all he's got.
That's all he's got. Imagine if he leaves. Who's going to touch him when he's got... let me tell you the scale of this. The Mpumalanga government wants to build a township. It says, we want that piece of land. The farmer says, okay, I'll give you my piece of land. It's 11 million. The guy says, okay, Mabale will pay you 43 million rand for that farm, and then you'll pay the farmer 11 million, and we'll split the rest, the other 32 million.
Yes, yes.
So suddenly, Mabale is buying a car for Bongani Bongo's brother. Hello. It's so amateurish. It's not even funny anymore.
So, what's the president who put this Bongani Bongo in place? What's he up to at the moment? He's been very quiet. There's nothing presidential happening. I mean, he's basically in absentia most of the time. We don't know for the last 6 months of his presidency what important things he's done for the country. I can list not one, but maybe you have some. And where is he going to be spending the next couple of days ahead of this conference, which is surely to be his last?
Yeah, President Jacob Zuma has actually been quite busy. I know you go to lots of dinners, Gareth, but you are not going to the right dinners.
Oh yeah,
you should have been around last Thursday, because
what was happening?
Baleka Mbete, Cyril Ramaphosa, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, Zweli Mkhize.
Yeah, they all had a big dinner together.
They all had a big dinner. It was lovely.
I was not invited, Justice.
Guys, did you see, though, there was no booze on the table. No wine. It was all water and bottled water.
How boring.
Oh, my word.
What a boring party.
Absolutely.
Really?
So this dinner was supposedly a dinner for all the contenders. I want to know this. If Gareth gets two branches saying, we want Gareth for president, and five branches want Sia, and eight want Ben, and two want me, but there isn't a single branch. Maybe Mabale, you can help us here. Have you heard of a branch, any branch anywhere in South Africa, coming out and saying, we want Jeff Radebe for president of the ANC?
Shame, Justice.
But
I don't know one.
I don't know what. But he was at the dinner, too.
He looked so miserable, though.
He did look quite miserable, I have to say. And Matthew's Posa was there. Now, Matthew's Posa,
how miserable was he?
He looked very miserable. But he's on the record. I don't know if you remember, but a month and a half ago, he said to the City Press newspaper, so they did a whole thing with everyone who's been nominated by one or two branches. And he said, Jacob Zuma is the worst president we've had since 1994. To be fair.
Shame. That's a terrible thing.
Kgalema Motlanthe was in office for just 9 months. Even he did better in the 9 months than Jacob Zuma 8 years.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can imagine, there must have been a lot of talk beforehand about, okay, so where should Posa sit? Because you don't want to put him next to Jay-Z.
No.
It's quite something. Anyway, you ask, what's he doing? What's President Zuma doing? President Zuma clearly wants a solution that he can, like,
manipulate
yeah. perhaps, in this presidential race. You will remember in August at the National Policy Conference of the ANC, at the end of it, Jacob Zuma suddenly says, I think we should change the rules in the ANC so that we can have a contest for president. And if after that, whoever loses automatically becomes deputy president of the ANC. My view then and my view now is that he was panicking that, the one I want is not going to be president. But how do we keep the one I want in play? And so you say the loser automatically, no contest, automatically becomes the number two. That has been, there's been pushback against that, people saying, and this is not how democracy works. So now he's come up with another way, and it's that, okay, there's going to be 7 elections in December at the ANC conference. That'd be an election for president, and everyone, all 5,200 people, go and vote. There's right. manual counting,
yes.
and then it's, Mathis Posa has won.
Bit of comic relief. All right.
So Cyril Ramaphosa wins. And then they say, okay, who wants to be deputy president? And Nkosazana, after losing, says, okay, I'll go for it. And then all 5,200 delegates vote for that position. And then she wins, and then, oh, you other guys who lost, do you want to? And then there's an election for the Secretary General, for the Deputy, for the Treasurer, for the National Chair, for the Deputy Secretary General.
So it cascades down.
It cascades down. But
so you've got one winner and a whole bunch of losers.
Yeah, so you have a winner, then you choose the next one, then you choose that. So people will be voting 7 times, in fact.
How boring.
And then you have to vote for the rest of the National Executive Committee, which is 80 people. If the constitution is not changed. But basically what Jacob Zuma wants is a chance to make sure that Nkosazana and some of the people he prefers stay on in the top echelons of the ANC. So that was what that dinner was about, and he wanted them to stay focused. That's why there was no Sauvignon Blanc, my brother, at that.
How boring.
Very.
Really?
You remember the concept of the dry state in the U.S.? They used to have...
During the Prohibition, right?
Yeah, yeah. There were states where they didn't sell any booze. It was a dry state. So you drive from...
Ironically, those are the same states that were the slave states.
Yeah, yeah. No, they were horrific places.
Jay-Z doesn't drink as well, right? Or does he?
No, he doesn't. He's an orange juice man.
Yeah. Sorry, Ben.
Psychopath.
Jeez. Okay, moving on swiftly.
When do you ever need to be so calculated in life, unless you're doing nefarious things?
Thanks, Mr. Kapinski, for your contribution.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right.
Anyway, so Jay-Z seems to have suddenly hit on this idea that, no, we need to make sure that somehow people stay in. So on Monday, he met those 7 people he had dinner with again and said the same thing. This time, he called Paul Mashatile, Didi Mabuza, all the provincial leaders of the ANC, saying, guys, and what is he doing? He's trying to make a deal before the conference happens so that everyone stays inside.
Do you think he'll get it right?
Jacob Zuma is a consummate negotiator. Remember, he was sent to KwaZulu-Natal to sort out the violence in KZN in the 1990s.
Right.
What he did, he said, I'm negotiating with Mangosuthu. It's all going to be happy, happy. But what he was actually doing was stealing IFP voters. He was becoming friends with the Zulu King, and the ANC unseated the IFP. And became their party of KwaZulu-Natal, basically. Right. So whoever is sitting across from him, people like Cyril Ramaphosa saying, ah, but Ubaba sounds genuine now. I'll tell you, it's like a drug addict saying to you, oh, you know, buy me some Panado because I'm trying to get off the hard drugs.
Or those victims of abuse who just keep going back to their abuser.
Uh-huh. And so Cyril Ramaphosa needs to be very careful if he starts thinking, no, this is a genuine attempt at unity. It's an attempt at power,
right,
not at unity.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what's happening. So I think Jacob Zuma is actually very busy working underground to make sure that even if there is no win for his candidate at the conference,
that it won't destroy the ANC.
That it, yeah. Remember, if Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma wins and wins with the not just the hint but the strong smell of corruption at the conference.
Not a hint.
then how many people in the ANC will stick around? Many would say it's time to go, and so Jacob Zuma understands that if that happens, the ANC might not win in 2019. If the ANC stays together with all its problems, my view is that it will still win in 2019. But if it splits, then it's curtains. And so Jacob Zuma, I think, would agree with me, or I agree with him on that one. So he wants to keep the ANC together. So...
But yeah. The ANC is not together because we're not even sure that there'll be a provincial conference in the Free State. Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, I mean, are these things going to be intact by the time they get to conference?
Well, I think all these things lead to one big question, and it's a question I'm sure we'll interrogate over the next 2-3 weeks, and it's whether that conference can be held. I mean, think about it. Siya is the leader of the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal, right? His name is Sihle Zikalala. Half of the ANC, Senzo Mchunu and others, go to court and say, once again, the conference that elected him is unlawful, irrational, unconstitutional, and all that. And the Peter Maritzburg High Court says, yes, that's true. So at the moment, Sihle Zikalala is in power simply because he's appealing against that judgment. We'll see where that goes. But you have one, the biggest ANC province, and its leadership have been declared, have been found by a court of law, a high court, to have been unlawfully elected. Now you have the Free State. Yesterday, the court says, again, unlawful, unconstitutional way in which these meetings were held, and therefore you can't have a provincial conference this weekend. So that's the second one. The third one is the Eastern Cape. You will remember people throwing chairs at each other. Yeah. That's one of the biggest, I think the third biggest, ANC province. In the Free State, in the Northwest, if you go to Bojanala, there are three regions where there are court challenges to Supra Mahumapelo and his crowd. So you now have four provinces which are in turmoil. So when you get to the ANC conference, are you having a conference of the ANC or a conference of parts of the ANC? Because in KwaZulu-Natal, there are 100 branches that are saying, I mean, imagine if you're from Zweli Mkhize's branch. Zweli Mkhize arrives. It's a nice early Sunday. He arrives at his branch in Peter Maritzburg to go and vote for himself. He's with his wife, May. And it's, yes, Dali. I said, that's your voter. You know, Comrade May, what's an upper? What's a Comrade Zweli? Let's vote. Huh? They arrive at their branch. Now, these are... I'm sorry, but Zweli Mkhize is a national entity, is known.
Yeah.
So when he says my branch is the Cliff Central branch of the ANC, someone surely should have made sure that, you know, okay, Comrade Zweli is coming all the way from Johannesburg to come home to come and vote. He gets there, He says, now, can I go get inside the meeting? They say, Baba, you can't come in. You're not a member of this branch.
Oh, no.
How does that work? That Zweli Mkhize is not a member. Now, if you're not a member of a branch of the ANC, you can't be a member of...
the top six?
Yes. So, in fact, they're saying you're not a member of the ANC.
So, in other words, there is no treasurer general,
there's no
according to that branch.
Yes, exactly. Now, think about it. So, he then complains to the branch, then goes to Super Zuma, who's the...
Super Zuma.
Super Zuma.
Super Zuma.
That's right.
So Super Zuma is the provincial secretary of the ANC. He says, he calls Super Zuma. Super, what's going on? This is my punch. What's going on here? Super says, I'll look into it. Okay? It's been 3 weeks now. Super's still looking into it. So imagine I'm a member of the ANC in Metsimaholo or somewhere, you know, and I don't find my name. If Super can't solve Zweli Mkhize's problem, how can he solve my problem? I'm just a guy from Metsimaholo Municipality, Ward 7, and no one's gonna listen to me.
No,
You're on
your own. So the big problem here is that someone like me could say, "Well, look at Comrade Zweli. Look at me. I couldn't vote in my branch." And so you can't say this. In the Free State yesterday, there were 26 branches which brought this court application. So to actually say what we've seen so far in this process is free, fair, and leads towards a democratic and fair result on December 16th to the 20th begins to be a tall, tall order. And I think what it does is just that it's opened the ANC to court challenge. Anyone can challenge the validity of the conference in December. If you think about it, we've spoken about this. If I am in Central Durban and I'm a member of the Gedleyihlekisa branch, Gedleyihlekisa branch is where Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, that's her branch. That branch wanted to elect Cyril Ramaphosa as its presidential nominee. Its AGM was disrupted, and it hasn't gone on. Now, if I'm a member of that branch, I could just say, you know what? They deliberately made sure that we don't hold an annual general meeting so that we don't go to conference. So they could, just that one branch could bring the entire thing to a halt. And I think it's becoming clear. If you think about what happened in the Eastern Cape, where half the room started throwing chairs at the other half, and then 45% of the conference delegates walked out. If it doesn't happen before a conference, it could very well happen at the conference itself, where people walk out because they believe that it's been rigged and so forth and so forth. So that's what we, you know, my view is that I think it might just creep through, but I'm putting it very low. I'd say 55% chance of success. Hmm. But that's for an organization like the ANC, you don't want so much doubt that there might be a conference. And right now, what happened in the Free State over the past 2-3 days and the court judgment yesterday points us to a very fragile 15 days to go to the ANC conference.
Justice, the president has ordered budget reprioritization. Mm. What's this all about?
You may know that, you know, God, I wish I was young. Can you imagine last Friday, Sia was out clubbing? What are you, Cardi B? Cardi B. There you go. But the rest of us, serious people, we were at 11 o'clock, we were waiting for Moody's and S&P, you know, to tell us what...
I wasn't, no.
Have we been downgraded and so forth? So one of the ratings agencies downgraded us to junk, and the other one said, we're watching you, but we're watching you with a very, very negative eye. So if you make one mistake, you're out, you're junk. And that would mean huge, huge implications. And I'm sure Anthea spoke about them with you in the week. So Jacob Zuma then says to Malusi Gigaba, I want you to find money so that we don't get further into debt as a country. So what's going to happen to you, Sia, is that on the 28th of February, soon after the budget, which will be announced, I think, on the 28th or the 21st, one of those of February, there are going to be tax hikes, my brother. Mm. You're going to pay higher tax because Jacob Zuma wants, I think, 30 billion rand. Is that the number?
Mm-hmm.
From Malusi Gigaba. And where is he going to get it? He's got to get it from Ben. And so, yes. Higher taxes. I think we are assured there will be higher taxes.
So how about is this the time for a tax revolt? I'm serious. Like, why should we? Why? Why? On earth,
why should you pay people getting? Who are not working?
Well, I said this morning, and I wasn't even joking.
Mm.
The most expensive, inefficient way to not get things done is to let government do them. So what are we doing?
Well, we've done one or two things. Anyway, moving on swiftly. I know this is Garrett's campaign.
Very, very swiftly.
Very swiftly. Let's move on. But so government will want more taxes. Now,
yeah.
How will people respond? I think that civil society needs to just start talking. I mean, people like, I think, Wayne Duvenage and mm-hmm. Outa have spoken about, you know, what happens to tax morality when you see your money being wasted and, you know, people say, I want more of your money. So the first thing is that tax hikes might be around, and then government is saying, let's tighten belts, let's not overspend. Now, the reason why I think this is worth discussing, Jacob Zuma is saying, do all these things, get more money from the taxpayer, so CIA pay more money, and let's make sure that government doesn't spend too much money. What did Jacob Zuma say when he saw the Sunday Times 2 weeks ago and a minister had demanded that, oh, look at the braai at my government, the braai stand at my government house or the braai area.
Mm.
I don't understand these things. He said, I don't like it. So they spent 750,000 rand. To build a braai. Thank you very much. I mean, hold on. What kind of meat comes out of this place? It's boerewors, right? 750,000 rand. But let me tell you what is amazing about this country. That story was on the front page of the Sunday Times 2 weeks ago. It just sank without trace. No one talks about it. 750,000
for a braai.
So Jacob Zuma say, tighten belts, guys. You know how many RDP houses could be built with 750,000 rand.
It's outrageous.
So these are people who are saying today to
tighten belts.
It's all bullshit. I want
it's all
more.
Bullshit.
I want
this is
more
why we should
taxes.
Stop paying tax.
That's where your tax is going.
Stop.
That's where it is. 750. I mean, maybe we should go visit a minister this weekend. Mabale, I mean, do you know a minister we can go and visit? I want to see the Bryson, because the more important thing in that story is that actually government is trying to standardize
all the braai
areas. So what it's saying is that every minister is getting
get
a 750,000 rand braai stand. Guys, I wanna taste the meat.
Mm, yeah, no.
Please. I mean, the meat must be.
It's our turn to eat. Citizens of this country, it's our turn to eat.
I just
eat.
Wanna know.
It's gold plated, of course. Diamond encrusted.
Right, last
the
thing.
Meat or the.
Justice, the last thing.
Yes.
There are a lot of rumors going around. You see a lot of social media stuff. Mm. You hear people speculating about what's going to happen at the conference. You say the race is very, very close. Don't believe everything you read.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say, you know, there's been a lot of numbers coming out. I mean, all of us get them. You get them. Mm-hmm. I like the ones that were sent to you, by the way.
I forward those straight to justice.
I like those numbers very much.
The source is still not identified, but we'll keep it at that.
I think we should out Gareth's source right
Deep
now.
Throat in the ANC.
So I'm just saying, one of the mistakes we made in 2007 was that many people would say, oh, I like Thabo. He's so nice. He's so good. He's got a master's degree, and all that. And he speaks so well. And you know, I like his jackets. He smokes a pipe. Ooh.
So distinguished.
Whiskey. Oh, so distinguished. Oh, he's one of us. He's so sweet. So lovely. So people believed the numbers that came from the Thabo Mbeki faction of the ANC. Then, because, I mean, the idea of Jacob Zuma charged with corruption, rape charges, all this, and just, oh my word, it's going to be terrible. We're going to die. No, he can't come in. So when you get numbers that say, actually, Jacob Zuma's winning, people who didn't believe them. So I want to tell you about the 19th of December in Polokwane in 2007. There were people weeping and crying like, oh my word, it's the end of the world, because they had believed the numbers that supported their view that their favorite person would win. So be careful of these numbers. There's a huge amount of optimism going around that Cyril Ramaphosa is winning. And they are good numbers. You know, the logic behind those numbers is not bad. But you think about what happened in the Free State, where suddenly Cyril is not in play at all. And you think, what's going on here? This result, the final result in at the conference, could end up not being the one that people would like. And I think people should temper, all of us should temper our
don't get too excited.
Don't believe the numbers always, because the Zuma guys say they are winning. The Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma guys and the Ramaphosa guys say they are winning. But if you stay here with us on Cliff Central,
you'll give us the real truth.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Justice.
Hey, now.
There we go. That's the burning platform on cliffcentral.com. It's brought to you by Nando's every single week, and you get to hear all the most important analysis. So if you really want to know what's going on, don't miss an episode of The Burning Platform. Coming up in a little while, we're going to get to our guest for the morning. It's 10 minutes to 8. Good morning to you. All right. Thank you, Justice, and The Burning Platform. It's brought to you by Nando's. It's time for us to get to the unnews for this morning and make sure that you have a final take on kind of what's going on, and then we'll get to Pabi Moloi. We're going to speak to Cindy Nell from Wedding Bashes a little later on, and we'll let you know when that happens. Also, a bunch of really, really interesting guests coming up. I got some great feedback yesterday from people about Tim Noakes. A lot of people liked hearing about Tim Noakes.
He was a goodie.
Yeah. And whether you agree necessarily with him or not is besides the point. He has some interesting research in his book called The Law of Nutrition, and I would advise anyone who is a critic or a fan of his to interrogate it a little more. Make sure they know exactly what's going on.
More so, I think, if you are a critic, actually listen to what he has to say.
Yeah.
Because so often you just hear what is supposedly said about him on social media, but actually...
I hate when people bring emotional stuff to an argument like that, because this is a scientific argument. You need to have science. And I've heard very good contestation of his ideas from very smart people. But I do think he put a good case for the low-carb, high-fat diet.
Mm-hmm. Spoke about your brown rice.
Yeah, I said it's fine for a month, but don't do it after that, because it's going to stop losing its efficacy. So who knows? Some people here are saying that they, Ben, you must please give the right times. You're always giving the wrong times for matches. Some criticism for Ben.
Huh? What? Always is a strong word.
When?
Always. Always.
It's a very strong word.
I mean, do you live in another country? Because then I admit, yes, I do not give the Icelandic times. My Hong Kong times are well off.
Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak your mind and remove all doubt. Credited to Abraham Lincoln and Mark Twain. That's where that saying comes from. Guys, obviously your podcast is the business. Could you help me find some others to subscribe to, please? What's good? Go and look at the blogs that I've done in the last couple of months. There are a couple of suggestions in there. And I can confirm what Justice said about Dr. Matthews Poza. I was at a business breakfast with him and he announced that the rot that has encapsulated the ANC, Jacob Zuma, must go and be dealt with in the eyes of the law. Interesting man, Matthews Poza. Ken says, what about Makosi Koza's new party? Would you take them seriously?
We don't even need Justice to speak out on that.
We're not taking any more parties seriously.
No. Our ability to take parties seriously is finished.
Not one.
We have run out of fuel for that. Someone says, when a black person doesn't win a beauty contest, it's racism? What a joke. What is that all about?
How?
Nsiki Mazwai is not happy that Miss SA won Miss Universe.
Jesus. Nsiki Mazwai must get over herself.
Nsiki Mazwai isn't happy that?
That Miss SA won Miss Universe.
Oh. Was like Miss Jamaica meant to win?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, she's such a paragon of genius herself.
But hey, halala Miss Universe now. She has an apartment
Nsiki
in
Mazwai
New York.
Why should try and enter Miss Universe? Yeah. We'll see her come stone last.
She does have, she gets to live in New York for a year.
Yeah, not, a new apartment in New York.
I
she
saw,
gets a
yeah.
salary from Miss Universe. She's been schmoozing all the nice. American media as well, doing the press rounds.
Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here it is. The important news that you need to know at the end of your morning and the start of your day. First and foremost, South Africa is becoming a global frontrunner in providing dads with paid paternity leave. Did you hear about this? Jacob Zuma says he's been saving up his paternity leave to use from next year. That means he'll essentially then be on paid leave until March 2048. Shockwaves continue to rock Buckingham Palace after Prince Harry proposed to that Meghan Markle woman. The Queen managed to eventually come to terms with the fact that her problematic grandson wanted to marry an American actress with a black mother. But she was positively plunged over the edge after she found out that Miss Markle's a cat person and is allergic to corgis. Oh!
Fwah.
Finally, the Colombian cycle tour has been dogged by a doping scandal this week, with 8 participants testing positive for banned substances. Over in the Venezuelan cycle tour, participants there are complaining to the World Cycling Body as for 5 years in a row now they've been unable to afford any drugs and are desperately asking for financial support with this. Keep an eye on that story and more. Here's Pabi Moloi, our guest this morning on CliffCentral.com. It's just about 8 o'clock.
This is CliffCentral.com.